really don't know that there's a good way to start a podcast, so I think we just roll into it. I'm Darcy Campbell, and here with me is Lee Reed, and together we are going to bring you a new podcast called Build You. Is that not right, Lee?
It is, and it's an incredibly exciting start to what should be an amazing journey.
Yeah. So we should give you a little bit of background. I'm a host of a radio show at Ocean 100 morning show, and recently we had Lee on our show as a guest for an hour as our interesting islander, and we were able to find out so much about Lee and Lee's journey, and some interesting things like mindfulness that you picked up along the way, which really, you know, when we sat down to chat about things, we really only started to kind of unpack and scratch the surface on everything that there is to your training and your story. So I think that this is a great opportunity to kind of tell your story more, get some guests involved, and really help people along the way too.
Yeah, I'm really excited. First of all, that was an amazing opportunity to come into the studio and chat about and share my journey. I'm not scared to tell it, and I think that's really important. It wasn't an anxious piece for me in any shape or form. But I want to make clear to everybody that I don't have all the answers. And right. I think that's really where you and I hit it off, Darcy, is the fact that there is so much to this and there are so many different levels in so many different ways. And the idea is to share those. And as my wife says, life is a journey, not a destination. So this is a journey that we're going to go on and bring incredible people into this. And talk with amazing people who are doing incredible things on our island and share that and hopefully share their understanding of the fact that the more we talk, the better it gets.
Yeah.
And I think that's really important.
Absolutely. And I think that, you know, we don't really want to label it as self-help, but I think that it's going to be shared experiences. Yeah. We're going to have a lot of stories about people's personal lives, their personal journeys. I mean, you yourself, which we'll get into here very shortly. For people that don't know, you've had a cancer journey as well. You know, you moved to Canada as well.
That was another, the best bit.
a real journey, actually. You know, so there's a lot of aspects to your story that have brought you to this point.
There is. And the exciting title of this podcast, Build You. And I think, yet again, Darcy, total credit to you. I think it's a fantastic title. I really, really like that. As I said on when I came in, just be you. Now, since we chatted and just build you becomes a really, really easy thing to say. And I think that's really what we're looking to do. We're looking to help in a way that we hope that we give you the tools and the foundation to just build you. And that's really exciting.
And through some of our initial conversations, once I kind of said, hey, we should do a podcast, one of the things that we spoke about was just how sometimes hearing someone's story can create those light bulb moments. And like, it's so profound that you can connect the dots that easily, but you need to hear the stories.
You do. And let's be honest, in the world of depression and mindful issues, just being able to talk about it isn't the easiest thing, you know, and I often get frustrated when I hear they built another building for mental wellness or mental health and the toughest thing you can do if you have depression or you have issues with your own beliefs in your body is to open a door and go in and ask for help. I'm hoping that people can use this in any format they want at any time to listen to it without having to go into a building.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
So when I talk about foundations, it's to give you something to stand on rather than it be the foundations of a building going forward.
And honestly, you know what? I'm approaching this from the standpoint that, you know what? I'm going to learn a lot here. You're also going to learn a lot as well,
100%.
Right? So, you know, we're going to approach this as a way to make ourselves better and take you along for the ride as well, right? Which is kind of what this is going to be all about. And I think that's the most exciting part of it all, is that we really just kind of have to live this. this and get some interesting people involved here and really get some great stories going that are going to, you know, help some people figure some things out, which I'm hoping will be what happens.
Yeah, I hope so too. And I think the only thing we can really do is to try, mm-hmm. right? And I mean that, whether we try, whether we listen, whether we communicate, whether we tell stories, we try. Mm-hmm. Because trying is so much better than the alternative.
Right. Absolutely. So let's dive right in. You know, mindfulness is going to be a big part of this. And I obviously, you know what, it's going to be tough to find anybody who hasn't had maybe some sort of a brush with the system for mental health at some point in time. I have definitely been there at different stages in my life. It was great to be able to ask for the help. Tremendous to be able to get the help as well, right? So this is mindfulness is something I am familiar with. I wouldn't say that I'm fully practicing, but it's definitely there's certain aspects of mindfulness that have helped me through a lot of different scenarios. So why don't we start there? Because mindfulness training is a big part of your story. And why don't you give a shout out to your Mr. Miyagi, as I call him.
I like that. I really do. First of all, I just want to go back to a point you made. You asked.
Yeah.
That is the bravest thing. Mm-hmm. You know, total respect, because asking for help and asking support isn't easy. Mm. It really, really isn't. And for you to be able to do that and see it is pretty amazing. So I just wanted to that there. Mr. Miyagi, Paul McCormack. Absolutely. Superintendent, general manager of Fox Meadow Golf Course is where I work.
Right.
He came into my life 4 years ago now, and he came in. I didn't know he was a mindfulness coach.
Right, right.
But he has a presence about him that is so damn calming that you know there's something there. And the world went crazy. Yeah, the world went crazy with COVID, and suddenly we were all working from home and we didn't know what was happening. Although the golf course stayed open, we were all sort of going around in big circles around each other, right? And Paul, you know, seeing this, put a group together on a Sunday morning that you could join, anybody and everybody. And we started this process and this journey to communicate mindfulness and how we could have extra tools and give us the tools to be able to get through through trauma and through anxiety or whatever it was you found that you were struggling with at that time. And I was going through two things at the time. I was going through trauma, having had cancer for the first time and surgery and the confusions of all of that, and a huge amount of anxiety about anything and everything having moved here in 2016. Although it's the most incredible thing we've ever done, you still carry that. You're still concerned that your family's going to be well. You're going to have a job. You're going to give back. You're going to make something. You're going to be somebody. And so I was carrying a lot of that. So I remember the first morning we sat down on the Sunday. We were all on our laptops, all different parts of Prince Edward Island. And Paul started, and the first hour went like that. And it was the first time I'd ever meditated. And we meditated for 5 minutes. Now, we're all very different when we meditate. You know, I think Paul does do it with the bell, you know, the sound,
right,
which is very soothing in itself, and finished it with that. But my meditation on a day-to-day basis of 5 minutes, I'm a counter. I have to count back.
Right.
So I may be sitting there closing my eyes, but and I'm taking in and thinking. But for me, counting backwards really helps me decompress.
Right.
And then finishing with three deep intentional breaths. And so what happens is your levels of frustration and anxiety come down, like literally come down. Yep. You can feel it. And then the three intentional deep breaths realigns you to what is going to happen next. Mm-hmm. So there were those tools that he started to give to us and share. And then as we built through the 6 weeks, 7 weeks, and 8 weeks, we came to the end of that with so many different things that I'd like him to come on sometime, Darcy,
and be with us. And, yes.
And let him share that, because I won't do it the justice. And that's really not what I want to do. But he got rid of all my anxiety. Between him and Kathy MacArthur, who's a therapist, I use a hypnotherapist, is incredible too. They got rid of my anxiety at the time when the world was going crazy, because we really didn't know what was going to happen. We didn't know where we were going. And right. I'd also given up drinking, which sounds terrible, but I had, because of the cancer in the kidney. So I didn't even think about drinking. Yeah. That was the most crazy thing. Even when the days were like I didn't revert back to type because I knew that would hurt me physically.
Right.
I just stayed in the moment. And yeah. I stayed every day was a different day and I was going to work on it.
And that will, and I mean, that will help, obviously, in the long run.
Yeah, it does. But it was incredible that everything was flying around, but I still had this core of mindfulness that enabled me at any time that I felt slightly overwhelmed to take those three deep intentional breaths and take a pause.
Now, I mean, for anybody that is kind of hearing this and they're hearing the words meditation and, you know, some people might think it's a little bit of hocus pocus there, is it? But it's come so far, you know, from those days in the 80s and 90s where, you know, it's that Ravine was hypnosis, right? Meditation was something completely different. But it honestly just, for me, being able, the breathing is the big part, right? Being able to, when you get into a high anxiety situation, being able to stop yourself, stop from spiraling out of control, and stopping and breathing is really the big part of that.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And I breathe differently probably to yourself. I could put one hand on my stomach and one hand on my chest. Mm-hmm. And I make sure that I breathe from my chest. So it's not my stomach that's moving, it's my chest. I'm making sure that I get full deep breaths as I do it. And we all have our own different ways. The days of the, you're sitting there with your, you know, the humming in the background or whatever, it's just not like that. No. And it was tarnished badly for that because this, you can do anywhere. Mm-hmm. You could pull up to a meeting, you're just about to go into work or whatever, or anything in your car. It doesn't matter. You just take that moment for yourself. We are very, very bad at taking time for ourselves.
No, you're right.
Terrible at it, right? The world's going 100 miles an hour. Well, I got to keep going 100 miles an hour. And if it goes 100 miles an hour, I got to go 150 miles an hour. No, because you're not going to be respected for it. Nobody really, really appreciates you running yourself into the ground.
Right.
On the rare occasion it doesn't sit well with you. So, yeah.
Why don't you take me through, like, if you're, you know, you're doing your breathing, right? Like, why don't we give like the whole idea behind what it means to kind of stop and take your breaths sort of thing.
Yeah. So, let me talk about it from a rugby point of view.
Gotcha.
Is that okay with
you? Yeah, absolutely.
As you know, rugby is a huge part of my life.
You can see that I definitely look like a rugby player.
Well, you certainly do. I can think of a couple of positions for you that way you could get you playing.
Right.
So rugby is an extremely intense game. It's a physical game. It's not a violent game. And if you make it violent, then you really are doing something wrong. Okay. So when you've got 15 guys on each side of the field, so 30 guys, testosterone's flowing, just ready to take this ball from one end of the field to the other to fulfill the opportunity to which you score a try, there is a situation where you become gladiatorial in many ways. But by coming gladiatorial, your focus disappears. With all that anger of, I'm going to kill them, I want to kill them, I'm going to hit them, I'm going to hurt them, I'm going to have all this, your mind isn't actually focused on what is the greatest team sport in the world of 15 people trying to get a ball from one end to the other.
Right.
So what we started to do was to get rid of that hatred part and disrespect for the other teams and take three last-minute deep intentional breaths. Close our eyes in a circle of trust that we were 15, 16, 17, 18 with the coaches and just be in that moment. And what happens is that on the first breath, your shoulders go up. On the second breath, your shoulders come down and then your whole body relaxes. It doesn't mean you're not tense for the game and it doesn't mean you're not ready. It's just that in that moment in time, you've taken over and you're right there. You're absolutely right there. And you can win games in the first 15 minutes because of those three intentional breaths. Instead of running around like a gladiatorial headless chicken, trying to do anything and everything and not being in the moment. So by taking three deep breaths and just calms you through and calms you down and makes you think. Because without oxygen and without breathing, we never think properly. You just don't, right? You just, it goes all blurry and scurry. So for me, three intentional breaths on a day-to-day basis before we start the golf season, which is crazy at Fox Meadow, I start every day with three intentional deep breaths. And then during that day, I'll take 5 to 10 minutes to go somewhere and just have that time for me, close my eyes, count back from 600 and be there.
So you will do that several times a day, though?
Yeah, I will. And the more, if the longer the day I do it, mm-hmm. twice, mm-hmm. Three times sometimes, mm-hmm. Just because we could end up doing a 9, 10, 11, 12-hour day. And there are things that, you know, we come across that just doesn't sit right with you.
Right.
Right. And right. instead of being, what's the word, reactive.
Right.
I'd rather take 3 deep breaths, mm-hmm. think about it, come back, look at it. You know, it's like that old saying, don't send an email for 24 hours if it doesn't feel right. Take 3 intentional deep breaths. If yeah. you come out of it and you still feel the same way, yeah. then you know you're pretty much on par.
That's actually hilarious that you would bring that up, because that is something that I've integrated into my life in the last 2 years, is the email thing. Mm. Because you can really get yourself worked up yeah. very quickly. And if you don't give yourself enough time to kind of cool off and see things for what they are, you can actually do more damage than good in the long run.
Well, you know, the written word is difficult at the best mm-hmm. of times, mm-hmm. especially when it comes through on an email. And usually those ones that cause you more harm are the last email of the day.
Yeah, right.
And the last email of the day has probably come from somebody who's decided to send it to you so they don't have to carry it. Mm-hmm. So now you're carrying it. Mm-hmm. Well, you know what? Don't carry it.
Right.
Leave it.
Right.
Leave it till the morning. I know it's easier said than done, but you know what? The world isn't going to crumble unless it's something medical or you mm-hmm. know what I mean. Mm-hmm. But mm-hmm. if it's business-wise, leave it.
Yeah.
Because it's like a bad text. You know, you can get a text through and you think, my God, I can't believe they said that. Then you speak to them and it's nothing like what they meant to say. Mm-hmm. But we just don't have the ability to change it up.
Yeah.
It just sounds flat.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I totally agree. The 24 hours before you reply, because you probably look at it in a very different way.
Yeah. And I think that overall, everybody's just moving too quickly, you know?
I mean, we moved from England because England was running to stand still, mm-hmm. literally. You know, we had an amazing family life, but at the weekend, you work 5 days in England just to get to the weekend. Mm-hmm. And then when you get to the weekend, it's quite, what's the word, partyish. In okay, a way, gotcha. Even with you got families, you're always, it's a very drinking culture and yeah. you're either at somebody's house till late and then Saturday you're doing the same thing. Sunday you're recovering and Monday you're back at work and it becomes, and then there's the sporting events in between mm-hmm, where you're driving anyway and you really don't stand still. Mm-hmm. You really don't. One of the most important things we wanted when we moved back to move to Canada was that time back with our family. Mm-hmm. And I can honestly tell you that sitting down every night to dinner at 5:30, between 5:30 and 6:30, and then a game of 3 games of Uno to see if somebody mm-hmm, wins mm-hmm. is the greatest thing.
Yeah.
It really is, because when we're in England, it was called bad news, good news. So you had a chance to get everything out on the table. And now we don't refer to it as that. It's just dinner with the family and chatting. But back then it was like, okay. And you, even if you had good news or bad news, if you didn't have any, you didn't have to share something for the sake of it.
Right, right, right.
But it certainly helped the kids in England, the good news, bad news, because there was a lot more bad things happening. Mm-hmm. Then when we got here, there was obviously missing family and things like that. Moved forward 3 years and there was none of that. Mm-hmm. And then it transferred itself into just simply chatting around about your days, because we were all in a much better place.
Right.
Much better place.
Right. And I would assume, I mean, I think so, but there's definitely not enough families doing that. Like even just the sitting around the table for supper is kind of a lost art.
It is a lost art. But I wouldn't say that we're holier than thou. What I mean by that is that we're very lucky that our children didn't grow up with mm-hmm. hockey and, you know, all those incredibly time consuming sports. These amazing families are making sure their kids play. Mm-hmm. And that's probably why, because mm-hmm. when you look at the ice times that they're trying to hit and trying to get to, it's very, very difficult to all be in the same place. And then right. if you're playing 3 different age groups, you're in 3 different rinks, mm-hmm. right? So as I say, our family can't stand up on a frosty day. So there's no way we're going to be able to play hockey. So there's no reason for us to be in ice rinks. So we're really lucky.
Yeah.
And the
yeah.
only time that we're not away, we're not having dinner together, we're watching Sadie play basketball.
Right.
And so we're together anyway.
Right.
So we never had that in England. So it's pretty amazing, you know, to have that. But the dinner piece is really important
yeah.
for us.
And when did you guys come back to Canada?
2016, May 28th.
Okay. And
that was a whole stressful day.
I'm sure it was. And how old are the kids now?
So Lewis is 26, Sam is 19, and Sadie's 16.
Okay. So a pretty wide range there. You got a bunch of different things going on.
Yeah. You know, they have incredible lives here now, incredible friends.
Right.
They've all grown since they got here. Mm-hmm. I mean, literally in height and in stature, and in themselves. It's, you know, this place enables you to be yourself. And Prince Edward Island, as quirky as it can be sometimes, has done that for all mm-hmm. of us. We can just be us. Here I am. I'm doing a podcast with you.
Right.
For goodness sake.
Wild.
This is wild. But I was so excited since you messaged me, because I just feel that there's so much that we can share through others in this.
For sure.
Right? Yeah. And so, yeah, they've grown. Lewis works for a fantastic graphic design company. Sam's going through the same program at Holland College right now. Sadie's in her first year at Rural and loving it. My wife's a school teacher at Stratford, grade 5, loves it.
And do you find that they're picking up any of these mindfulness kind of techniques and concepts from you?
Yeah, well, more from Paul.
Okay, right.
And I think, you know, Sam works at Fox Meadow on the turf team. So he's around that all the time, and the team is everything concept. Mm-hmm. Both boys play rugby, so they get that team concept as well. Sadie is getting to understand that she is enough. Yeah. Sadie has been the child, I guess, that doesn't feel like she is enough, and she really, really is. So we work on that a lot.
Okay.
We really do with her, and there's different ways of doing that with just conversations, time, space. It does help that we have the greatest family dog in the world, which is Timbit, which is a miniature schnauzer who just seems to know.
Everybody needs a Timbit.
Oh. You know, we didn't have a dog in England because although we loved it, we lived in a lovely village in the countryside, that there was still too much traffic, too many houses, right. too many things. And the anxiety of having a dog that maybe get out was just too much for us. Mm-hmm. But to come here and have the space, live in Stratford, be around everybody, they bring a totally new, wonderful element to what is a family.
Yeah.
And he's 7 now, and he just knows. Mm-hmm. He knows when you're down. He knows, like, he's been my best companion in the last 5 years.
My bad.
Lying down, he'll snuggle right up to me, and that's it. We're both gone. Both snoring before you know it.
Yeah.
But yeah. Yeah. What works?
How has some of these techniques really helped you through, you know, multiple cancer journeys at this point?
Yeah. I've got to say, the first one was kind of crazy. 2/18, blood poisoning, get told I have cancer, slightly out of control of all of that. The infection levels were so high that it took 6 months before I could have surgery, because I wouldn't have been able to go in to surgery because I was scared about me not coming out again. So that was not a good time.
No.
But I had been on a Safe Talk Assist courses with UPI, and the understanding of seeing trauma and seeing potentially, you know, the worst of the worst scenarios, mm-hmm. right? And every time I looked in the mirror, I could see it. It was like staring back at me.
Yeah.
You know, it was gray and blue and green and God knows what else. And I went into that and had that surgery the first time. I knew that we could get through it if we cut it out. And so we did. We went to Moncton. We cut it out. And the surgery went really well. What didn't go well was my recovery.
Gotcha.
And I didn't give it enough time. I didn't give me enough time. I didn't give the people around me enough time of understanding what the hell was going on and what was wrong with me. And so it became a bit of a spiral. And I didn't really recover through that until 20, I don't think, because it was June 2019 when I had the surgery. And even in October 19, I decided that I wasn't going to drink again because I tried, and the pain from the surgery with the kidney and everything else was just too much. And I'm like, I got to stop this. This is ridiculous. Drinking is fun, but not when it becomes painful.
No, absolutely.
So it got to about October 19. And I realized that I had to revert back to something I trusted in. And that was hypnotherapy.
Okay.
And I found this incredible doctor called Dr. Kathy MacArthur out by the airport. Had her own little practice. And I just knew. right away that I found the right person that I could go on this journey. So we sat down and we discussed what I wanted. So I told her the truth. I told her I was out of control in the sense of having no control over what I'd gone through with the cancer and my recovery and how badly I was doing it. And on top of that, I wanted to stop drinking because I felt that this was going to cause me even more pain and more damage. And it was detrimental to me and detrimental to my family going forward. And we went on a journey. And within 3 sessions with her, I realized that all I was doing was doing what was right rather than going in there thinking I was going to do it right. I actually came out knowing what I was doing was right. And that was really cool. That was really cool because that she gave me the confidence to believe in myself and help with that anxiety, help with. So to get to Christmas, December 19, we head home, first time since we've been away. And there I am standing in all the pubs in my village and with my dad and my brother and everything and asking for a non-alcoholic beer and not even feeling concerned about what people thought how I was because we worked so damn hard on knowing it was the right thing.
That's powerful.
It was incredibly powerful. And I still see it once every 3 months, 4 months.
And what exactly, I mean, I haven't done hypnotherapy myself. What would a session entail?
It's not like a stage show. You know, I don't get out there and act like a chicken.
No?
No, I have tried that. I've been on many rugby tours where I have dressed like a chicken. We sit down. And we have honest and frank conversations about where I'm at and what's happening in my life and how I'm feeling. We talk about what's happened and what's going to happen and what we hope to happen. And then we focus on the now. Mm-hmm. And then I think that's really, really important for me and for her, especially is that we focus on what is now. Right. And so I could be saying, I know I've got this and this coming up that's really important to me, and I want to make sure that I'm at my best. I am me. And I want to know that I'm giving people the respect as well as myself, the time and respect that they deserve. So we'll work on that, and we talk it through for probably 30, 40 minutes. And then I simply close my eyes, and I take 3 intentional deep breaths. And over the next 20 minutes, she talks, and she communicates with me without me speaking.
Right.
About what we want to happen. And it's incredibly powerful.
Right.
And it's been incredibly, incredibly humbling and amazing for me. And so these tools that she gave me has enabled me to get through that crazy period, get through the COVID years when I got COVID 3 times. And that's a whole another story.
Just casually, when I got COVID 3 times.
Well, you know what? You get to a point where you're like, oh, I'm sick of talking about being sick. Yeah. But that was something new for everybody, I think.
It was.
But I never imagined it was going to go and create eosinophilic asthma and suddenly my lungs would collapse and then trauma and then injections and all this kind of crap. But she helped so much that by just being in the now. It was amazing. Yeah. Yeah. I'd go into meetings. I go, okay, guys, what are we going to do now? They go, right, we need to do this, this, and this. And if we don't give you this injection, and this is in your... I'm like, okay, let's do it. And they're like, what the hell?
Yeah. No, I mean, that's powerful.
It is powerful, but I got to trust in them.
Right.
If you're telling me this is what I need to do, I'm in.
Yeah.
Right? If you're going to just do it for window shopping, I ain't in. Yeah. I'm not going to be in at all.
And I think, I mean, I mean, there's a ton of things that captivate me about you, but I think that the fact that you're able to have been through so much and been able to take, and like we're talking, this is a lot of stuff in the last 5 years of your life. Like for anybody, that's a wild 5 years.
It is. And, you know, bless my wife. You know, you talk about somebody who's having to live in the now. Mm-hmm. That's Cindy. Mm-hmm. I mean, I hope I don't say this wrong or disrespect somebody that's been told they have cancer. I've had it twice, but I know that being the person that I being told was a lot easier than the person that's supporting the person that's being told.
Yeah.
I don't know how my wife did it.
Yeah.
I don't know how my kids did it on a third party conversation, obviously after we'd spoken.
Right.
And every day they get up and try and reinvent a day and walk around on eggshells around you, wondering how you're feeling, hoping they're going to do the right thing, hoping they're saying the right thing, hoping they're being caring. And I don't know how they do that. And I'm not too sure whether I have that in me when I pray to God it never happens. But I can't tell you how amazing my best friend is and my wife is. And my best friend and my wife are the same person. I should have said that.
Yes, we're talking about the same person.
Yeah, we're talking about the same. I got that completely badly wrong. But but she's incredible. And she teaches grade five every day.
Well, that has taught her strength in itself.
Spot on there, mate. And she's a mother and she's a best friend and she's a basketball coach and she does this. And you're like, oh, wow. Mm. So the least I can do when I'm told that I have cancer or I have eosinophilic asthma or I have my, you know, COVID or whatever, is to be in the moment and do what's right. Mm-hmm. The last thing anybody else needs is a self-righteous dick.
Yeah, no, you're right.
So as I said to you before, Darcy, when that check engine light comes on in your car, you go to a mechanic. When something comes and somebody tells you something about a body that you have no idea about, listen to them because they know.
True.
You know, if you want a second opinion, get one. Yeah. But don't ignore it.
Yeah.
That's for sure.
Absolutely. And family is such a big part of everything. Yeah. You know, I know with my trials and tribulations through the years, and there have been many of those, to say the least, with mental health struggles going as far back as my teenage years. I definitely know that my support system, had it not been there, it would have been a much different story for me. Talking, of course, about my parents and my brothers.
That's wonderful.
And it's really, you know, to still have that support to this day is great. And it's really put me on a much better path, to say the least.
I think you'll agree. Family is everything, right? And they offer and give you so much with not wanting anything back. Mm-hmm. And I think your brothers and your mom and dad will probably tell you that you give more than they give, right? Mm. Everybody does. So we say, oh, you give so much more. But really deep down, a loving hug or a smile or a message or something from family means so much. Mm-hmm. It's just heartwarming in every single way. And you know you're not on your own.
Right.
And I think, you know, that's one of the scary things about mental health and mental wellness is that feeling of alone. I think that's something that we should really look at and how, see if we can get some tools together for people who genuinely feel alone. Mm-hmm. And I've been there. I've been surrounded by family, you know, back in my mid-40s, family, love, and just feeling so alone that you can't get out of it. Mm-hmm. It doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
Your brain is so powerful. It's telling you you're worthless and you're on your own, but you're not. You're never on your own.
Right.
Because there's somebody there, just out of your eyesight, that wants you to know they're there.
Right.
And once you see it, you're caught.
Yeah. So, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
Family would be a really good conversation to have with getting, you know, about the island family. Mm. That would be a really cool conversation to have down the line.
Definitely. And I mean, getting back to people feeling lonely as well, right? Like, we're in a heavy time right now. You know, even the last 5 years, you know, at face value for everybody, you know, with COVID, with everything that's going on, and now the economy, the way that it is, and the cost of living being through the roof, and, you know, the homelessness that we're encountering here on the island, a lot of it, and a lot of these things we're seeing for the first time, it's a heavy time out there for people. And I think that's kind of where we're stemming from by wanting to do something like this, because we don't want people to feel alone.
You know, doing the heavy lifting alone is tough.
Yeah.
Right. And you're right. I don't think we're even post pandemic. We're still seeing it. Right. I the effects of that, I think, will be felt for years to come.
For sure.
And as much as people want to sweep it under the carpet and say, there's no COVID, we got to move on, things are great, blah, blah, blah. That's not true. So many people were affected by that in some way. And it's all going to be different. Everybody's is going to be different. But it was traumatic. Mm-hmm. And trauma is tough. Mm-hmm. Trauma is tough to carry.
Yeah.
And we are carrying a lot of trauma, whether it shows itself or physically or mentally or whatever, we are all carrying some trauma from that crazy time mm-hmm. when realizing we were, the reality was we thought we all had it sorted and it kicked us in the ass.
Mm-hmm.
Literally.
Well, and it, I mean, realistically, it continues to.
It does.
Because of where we are today and, you know, the state of the world and all of those things that are going on too, right? Like, I think heavy is just the word that I'm going to keep using for it because it is daunting for a lot of people, right?
But if we could share in that carrying, all that lifting, you know, by getting people to come on and speak with us and share their wisdom and their understanding of how that can change, then maybe that bending down to pick something up isn't so traumatic as it is right now.
And I think that people hearing someone like you that has been through what you've been through, that has been able to use the tools that you've been given to, you know, or even just to have the courage to find a solution to it in general is a big part of it as well. You know, I think that people can benefit a lot from hearing from you on a regular basis.
I hope so. I don't, you know, I don't have all the answers. None of us do. And I live a lot of my life by sayings and, you know, like just be you and whatever. And I carry a couple on my body with tattoos and stuff like that of things that remind me of those times when trauma had come to me.
Mm-hmm.
But with the support of my friends and family and my rugby family and my work family, I got through them.
Right.
And it was a combination of everything.
Right.
You know, I carry one here, which is Sisu, which is Finnish for courage on my wrist. And then I carry one over here. I coached a New Zealand boy this year, and he's such a sweet man. And he sent me a message, which was Kia Ka Mateo, which is Stay Strong Coach in Maori.
Cool.
And we added some rugby posts. And that became my DNA. But I think those are the kind of cool things that people all have that would be very, very cool to share their motto.
Yeah.
What is it that gets them through the day? What is that thing that reminds them of who they are?
Yeah.
Spoke to my brother the other day. There's a whole journey there, 11 years now, with carrying leukemia and fighting leukemia, stem cell operations, you name it, the most courageous man I've ever met in my life, still fighting it every day. Will never walk, he's all in a wheelchair for the rest of his life, but the alternative isn't worth thinking about, is his thing, right? And he sent me a message the other day, he's going to have to need some more surgery. I said, oh, bro, God, you know, when is this damn thing going to leave you alone? And he said, acknowledge, accept, advance. I'm like,
wow.
Whoa. I like that. I like that. And he said, I have no other choice. I want to be here. So I acknowledge it, I accept it, and I head into it. I'm like, whoa.
That's pretty heavy, man. But it's great. Yeah. Like it means, like it makes so much sense.
It does. It does. And so we're all carrying those. And it would be very cool to share those in some way and somehow with others. And they can take their own or bring something or take it and share it and move it or whatever and add to it. So, yeah.
And I think like the overall vision here is, you know, it's podcast and it's, you know, we'll have a presence on the socials. We'll have an online presence. You know, I think that really as this evolves, it's going to turn into so much more. And we want it to be a community. You know, we want to be able to chat with people that, you know, maybe you're going through something. Maybe you just want to reach out to us and say, hey, we heard this. It resonated with us.
Yeah.
Like reach out. You know, that's kind of at the core what we want to be able to do with this.
Spot on. And reach out with the people that made a difference to you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, tell us who they are. Let's find out that this island is full of incredible people that have the ability to listen and make changes.
Yeah, for sure.
Very cool.
For sure.
Very cool.
I think where we'll go with it right now is we want to do, and like we've talked about doing constants and features and things that are going to happen in every episode. And like I said, this is pretty bare bones to get. This is the pilot project is what this is right here. And we've already unpacked so much and we're going to continue to do that. The plan is for like a once a week and who knows where it goes from there. but guests and different features along the way. And one, when you and I had our little get together at the Lucky Bean Coffee Shop in Stratford, I don't know if you know this, but Tim Chason was there as we were. Yeah. And from the East Pointers.
Yeah. I didn't realize that.
He had come in and just doing a little bit of clerical work there. But anyways, he's a great fella in his own right. Yeah, so we'll keep that in our back pocket for a guest. But anyways, when we were talking, and it makes sense, me being the radio guy,
right,
that we have a music portion of this.
And sounds great.
The power of music is huge. And even more so, you can take songs that we hear all the time, and if you really dissect them, you really listen to the words and pull them apart, there's a lot more there. So I'm going to play our first tune. I'm actually going to let you tee it up for us.
I will.
So I'll play it, and then we'll discuss afterwards. But go ahead. What are we going to do?
Well, if you know me from my rugby world, the Oasis Wonderwall is not going to be any surprise to you.
Okay. Yeah.
All right. So it's a great song by a great band.
Let's play it. Oasis, Wonderwall.
Today is gonna be the day that they're gonna throw it back to you. By now, you should have somehow realized what you gotta do. I don't believe that anybody feels the way I do about you now. Backbeat, the word is on the street that the fire in your heart is out. I'm sure you've heard it all before, but you never really had a doubt. I don't believe that anybody feels the way I do about you now. And all the roads we have to walk are winding, and all the lights that lead us there are blind.
I think everybody's probably had a stint singing that in a bar at some point, whether it was karaoke or otherwise. I'm sure that goes for you too.
I hope so, and I can imagine, like myself, who loves this song to death, the words are different every single time.
Yeah.
So the only time I've ever really heard it sung as well as Oasis was my son Sam sang it at a concert.
And that'd be the Darvels, right?
Yeah, yeah. They sung it for me for my birthday and they absolutely nailed it and he got every word right. So
unreal.
It was amazing. But you know, it started off as an Oasis song that came out in 96, 97. It didn't really hit the charts. There was a tour of South Africa with a rugby team called the British Lions. It became huge through then. For me personally, it was a song I loved. I went through a very bad patch of depression, 42, 43 years of age, and it was really, really not good. But that was a song that was constant for me.
Right.
And it was a song I played. And it's about a guy that he has an imaginary friend that he's going to hope is going to come and save him from himself.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's so powerful,
right?
Because I was hoping that was going to happen. And my imaginary friend happened to be my mate Phil Wells, who I'd known for 15, 16 years, who got in my car one night and said, "Lee, you're not yourself." And he saved me from myself. And that's why that song's so powerful for me.
Wow. And what happened after that? Like, what were your steps?
He messaged me the next day, as he promised, and said we'd meet within a day. And I'd been caught, and my life changed forever.
Wow.
And he came, we went through the stages and understanding of where I was and what was happening to me as a person. And we were able to break it down and work out the reasons why and what. And over a six-month period, I came back to being myself again. And without that, it's not even worth thinking about.
And people need to give themselves time too. You know, there's a lot of people out there looking for the quick fix, and we definitely we live in the on-demand kind of fix me now mentality. Yeah. But really, in a lot of scenarios, if you give yourself the time, you can look back if you did the right things and say, "Wow, I'm glad I gave myself that time."
You're absolutely spot on. We don't give ourselves the respect all the time, right? We're always trying to see what's next. Mm. Rather, you know, we're always saying, okay, this time next week, this time next month, you know, rather than actually right now, I'm doing this. I'm right now, you and I are trying to see whether this podcast is going to go.
Yeah.
And it's really cool being right in the moment right now.
I'm enjoying it.
Because you know what? Whatever happens, we'll always have this.
Yeah.
Isn't that something from a film?
I think so.
That's whole romantic films, a whole nother week. But we'll always have this.
Darcy and Lee staring in rom-coms now. That's fun.
I can just see this advert with a string of spaghetti and meatballs in the middle and whatever. But it's...
We're Lady in the Tramp.
Lady in the Tramp. it's being in the moment now.
Yeah.
It really is important.
Yeah.
And I think there's a lot of people out there that have that song. Have a song that's theirs. Have a song that they, need to hear to make things different. That song always gets me up. It just does. It brings back so many incredible memories for me now rather than the bad ones.
Right. All right. I think that's a good spot. For number one, and there'll be a number two because we definitely have some great ideas for some phenomenal guests coming up. I'm glad that we were able to sit down and get number one on the books here. It feels pretty good.
How do you feel? It's incredible. I hope I don't speak so much in the future. No, I don't think anybody needs to hear that.
No, you are an incredible individual who has lived quite a life, and even, you know, going back beyond the last 5 years and what you've endured, and still able to be so positive and want to do something like this. A lot of other people might not be in the same boat. So I think that over time, we're going to unpack more of your story, and it's going to be beneficial for us all.
And Phil... comfortable in reaching out. This isn't something where we're just going to put up the, you know, "Oh, we great, you hear our voices," and then this isn't about that. The more we talk, the more we communicate, the easier it becomes for everybody.
Right. And we'll have more information on where you can find more information coming up.
And don't forget, just build you.